Would the clerk please read that bill?
Committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 19, Finance, amended by the House by the Finance Committee, establishing a joint special committee on legislative salaries.
I would like to call the House upon this particular concurrent resolution. Representative Ringstead.
Brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Would the House please stand at ease? At this time, I lift the call of the House that I placed on it. We have a committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution 19, Finance, amended before us for reconsideration. The clerk has read the title of that bill. Is there any discussion? Representative Szymanski.
I won't belabor the point, Mr. Speaker. Since yesterday when this legislation, or I guess it was several days ago when this legislation was before us, and I offered the amendment at that time to add several citizens, then three citizens to it, I felt it bettered the legislation. And then further in reconsideration of the bill itself, I feel that it's the wrong signal to send to the public with regard to our intent in this issue. And I have reconsidered my vote on it. I will be voting against that legislation today to establish this special committee. And I would urge the rest of the body to do so, because I think we have the wherewithal, even in the short period of time that we have left here in the legislature, to deal with this issue. Thank you.
Is there any further debate? Representative Hurley.
Call on the House.
A call has been placed on the House. Is this call on the entire bill? Well, I guess it would have to be. We have no amendments pending.
She's gone.
Representative Furness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would imagine a brief at ease is probably in order in order to get the members on the floor. I do have some debate on the bill.
Why don't you give us the debate so we don't have to sit here at ease and then hear it later?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd be very pleased to offer my debate. Let me make sure I understand the status. We are currently, I would assume we're in third reading?
That is correct.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, and I would assume that the member wishes to kill the positive vote that we passed yesterday. Mr. Speaker, as I mentioned last evening in support of this bill, I think we should pass the resolution intact. I believe, Mr. Speaker, that that commission or that group in coming together has a number of responsibilities. One is to make some recommendation as to how to handle legislative salaries in the future. The second point, Mr. Speaker, I believe that group should also deal with what is considered an adequate amount of compensation for legislators. And third, the group should make some positive recommendation concerning the Salary and Emolument Committee. I believe that committee should also include public members. It appears to me, Mr. Speaker, that there are not sufficient votes this session to pass a pay repeal bill. We have seen at this late date that from the House perspective, at least, there are several pieces of the legislation that are currently sitting in whatever committee. That legislation has not reached rules, or if so, it has not reached the floor of the House for debate at this point. Even if we do send it to the floor, Mr. Speaker, it is not time for the Senate to act on that. Therefore, there will not be a repeal this half of the session. It makes good logical sense, Mr. Speaker, to broaden the question to give an ability to explore legislative pay in more detail. And I believe the sense of the resolution can indeed address that. And it's with those thoughts in mind, Mr. Speaker, that I ask this body to once again support that resolution.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the recess, we have committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution 19, Finance, amended before us under reconsideration. Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution 19, Finance, amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote?
Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
22 yeas, 16 nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 19, Finance Amended, has passed the House under reconsideration. Now we are back to the daily order of business. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House.
Representative Miller.
Could I just ask how many amendments we have at the present time?
13.
13. Thank you, Mr.
19.
19.
19.
Thank you, Mr.
Eight,
Speaker.
Yeah, 19. House Bill number. House Bill number 130 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to educational employees' collective bargaining agreements and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 130, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Navarre Chairman, signing do pass, Navarre, Boucher, Davis, and Kopanen. Having no recommendation, Collins. Handley signed do not pass unless amended. The Committee on Hess has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 130, Hess, with the same title, recommends it do pass, and it recommends as follows. The report was signed by the co-chairs Kopanen and Grunberg. Signing do pass, Kopanen, Grunberg, and Hurley. Signed no recommendation, Taylor and Pettijohn. Handley signed do not pass should only include certificated. Thompson signed do not pass without amendments. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 130 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 130, Hess, with the same title, recommends it do pass, and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Duncan, Porchot, Binkley, Cotton, Zemanski, and Larson. Having no recommendation, Adams, Ringstad, Rieger, and Frank. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill 130 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Are there objections to the adoption of the committee substitute Hess? Hearing no objections, the committee substitute Hess has been adopted. Do we have any amendments on our desk?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Hanley starts page 8, line 5, delete a new subsection and insert new subsections. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number 1 be adopted.
Hearing objections, proceed, Representative.
The issue addressed in committee substitute for House Bill 130, Mr. Speaker, is one that has been before this body many years previously. We're addressing collective bargaining for educational employees. In 1980, Governor Hammond saw fit to establish a Blue Ribbon Commission to explore viable alternatives to impasse. We've talked a great deal about finality and bargaining. I have placed on each member's desk a few pages of that particular report that indeed reflect the recommendations of that particular Blue Ribbon Commission. In recommendations number 2 and 3, that particular body stated that a teacher's bargaining law should include an employee rights statement, and it should also include a management rights statement. This is what I have addressed in amendment number 1. Employee rights are clearly defined and management rights are clearly defined. I urge the adoption of amendment number 1.
Any further debate on amendment number 1? Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This issue has been before the legislature for a decade. A number of states have a statute of this sort, 33 states altogether, including Alaska and the District of Columbia in addition. The amendment before us is one that we do find in Iowa and in Wisconsin. And the management rights section and the scope of bargaining section in those states, in Iowa, for example, has resulted since 1960 76 when it was passed, approximately 2,000 disputes between management and the teachers regarding the interpretation of the scope lists and the management rights. And there have been 10 Supreme Court cases and many more cases pending at lower court. In contrast, I worked for a time in Massachusetts and Connecticut when I was at graduate school and on contract for different school districts throughout that area looking at programs. The Connecticut law and the Massachusetts law are very similar to the one we have here. In those states, there were court cases, as we had in Kenai beforehand, that settled what the court considered to be the scope of bargaining and the rights of one side or the other. And after the law went into effect in Connecticut and similarly in Massachusetts, there have been no court cases involving the scope, the interpretation of the list of things we have. I believe that if we put a firm list like this and assume that it's going to hold, we will find instead that we're dooming the parties to go to the courts for an interpretation of what we meant when we put these things into the legislation. I think it is better for us, as the representative from Homer might say, for government to keep as far out of the situation as possible and let the combatants decide between themselves what they're going to argue about. The first argument or first debate in any negotiation is, what are you going to negotiate about? And the more we leave that to the people involved, I think the better off we will all be. Thank you.
Further debate on Amendment Number 1. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of Amendment Number 1. I make note, as the member from Anchorage has mentioned, this amendment is a result of a Blue Ribbon panel put together by a previous governor. That panel made certain recommendations, Mr. Speaker, and this was in 1980. The colleague from Fairbanks mentioned that this issue is a decade old. In fact, I would surmise it's probably older than a decade. What this amendment does, Mr. Speaker, is recognize the time and effort that that Blue Ribbon panel put into coming to some type of resolution and suggestion to the legislative body. To my knowledge, Mr. Speaker, none of these recommendations have been acted upon to this point. Now, oftentimes on this floor, we speak of public input. This amendment is a vehicle of public input into collective bargaining. And Mr. Speaker, if we cherish public input and respect the work that this panel has done, then we ought to give this amendment its due consideration.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the first part of this bill would specifically limit the scope of the negotiations, and it would make the service fees non-negotiable. As a matter of fact, currently, the establishment or non-establishment of a service fee is clearly negotiable and exists in several contracts in several jurisdictions. We should not be saying that service fees are either negotiable or not negotiable. We should say it's up to the local entity to make that decision.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps in response to the speaker from Fairbanks, the representative from Fairbanks, he indicated that perhaps these things shouldn't be addressed. I think many of us would agree that labor negotiations do proceed very smoothly in the state, and that I would suggest that House Bill 130 is not needed. However, each year a bill is introduced before this body that deals with finality and bargaining. We are told if we are to have finality and bargaining, we need some very specific guidelines. Indeed, in the Kenai decision, the legislature was reprimanded because it did not define guidelines that were specific enough. I think if that's what we need, then it's certainly appropriate to state that employee has a right to join or not to join. And certainly in a state with many rural districts, such as Alaska, management needs the right to demote, to transfer, to assign as they see fit for the most efficient operation of their school districts. I suggest that this amendment is indeed very appropriate.
Representative Pettyjohn.
Speaker, very briefly, I am not an expert in this area, and I don't pretend to have any real knowledge about it. And when the representative from Fairbanks and the one from Juneau talk about leave this up to the local people, let them decide what they want to bargain over, it has a very attractive ring to it. But somehow, and if I'm wrong on this, maybe somebody can correct me, isn't this entire bill an effort by the state to determine how these bargaining processes are going to go forward? If that's the case, the arguments made seem to me to apply that to a no vote on the bill as a whole.
Any further debate on Amendment Number 1? Representative Furness.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, one final note on this. The member from Juneau mentions the concern with the service fees. But, Mr. Speaker, I hope no member will reject this motion because the title is not broad enough to include the charging of the assessment of fees. I think fees are a very important part of the overall representation process. I will be preparing an amendment, Mr. Speaker, to broaden the title to give it the ability of handling the service fees. So don't reject this amendment because the title, in your opinion, at this point is not broad enough. We can certainly take care of that.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I didn't say the title wasn't broad enough. I just said it was a real poor idea.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 1 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
17 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment Number 1 has failed adoption. Would the clerk please make reference to Amendment Number 2?
Amendment Number 2 by Hanley. It starts CSHB 130 Hess is amended as follows with page 5, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Amendment Number 2 be adopted.
Hearing objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been a great deal said about finality in bargaining. Many members of the body have expressed an interest in not only binding arbitration, but also the right to strike as a means to obtain finality in bargaining. This amendment proposes to adopt that. The language before you in Amendment Number 2 is exactly the language that appeared in one of the bills before this body last session. This would give the local option to a school board to either adopt binding arbitration or the right to strike as a means of obtaining finality in bargaining.
Is there any further debate on Amendment Number 2? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. I'll keep my comments very brief. I do not support the right to strike for public employees, period.
Any further debate on Amendment Number 2? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I didn't really want to speak on it, but I, too, oppose the right of strike for teachers alone, only, I should say. And I remember the strike in Anchorage back in 79, I think it was 79 or 78, and we were talking about let the local government handle it, but guess who was getting the calls about the strike? It was the legislators from their local areas to settle this thing, so it's not just strictly a local problem.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Jenkins.
Mr. Speaker, having been a member of a Municipal Employees Association for the better part of 15 years, and having spent 5 weeks on a picket line with good reason in the summer of 1978, I believe very strongly in the right to strike, because I know that there are consequences on both sides in those kind of situations. It's with that kind of interest that I support this amendment.
Any further debate? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just looking at the amendment, I would
assume that most members have not had a chance to read this. If I just may take a little liberty, Mr. Speaker. The amendment here gives a local option of the school board to passing a resolution giving at least some consideration of the last best offer mediation arbitration or the right to strike. It goes on to say, Mr. Speaker, that if the board adopts the resolution that authorizes employees to engage in a strike, that the employee may engage in a strike if a majority of the employees who are a member of the bargaining agency elect to do so. So that still there is an option there. Mr. Speaker, I personally do not support a right to strike, but this legislative body or past legislative bodies have not made a decision on that. Should teachers have the right to strike, or should there be some means of finality through arbitration? This is an option, Mr. Speaker, that this body should not foreclose on. We need to step up to this issue and give them one or the other. Now, I sense here that members are not ready to do either one. This is an opportunity to look at least one of those options, and I would say that suggest that this amendment at least, again, deserve that consideration.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote?
Navar didn't vote.
Representative Navar? Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
16 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment number 2 has failed adoption.
Number 19, otherwise to be used off.
Would the clerk at this time please read amendment number 3?
Amendment number 3 by Furness. Page 1, line 26, after boards, delete and insert, comma, certificated teachers, certificated administrative employees, and non-certificated.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Proceed, Representative, under the objections.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of this amendment is to change section 1425-50 back to the original tenor, thus preserving in statute specific reference to certificated teachers. This amendment also seeks to preserve the separate identity of each of the bargaining group. Mr. Speaker, in my opinion, by deleting the specific reference in statute to certificated teachers and including all school employees under one designation, this has a tendency to wipe out many years of work that teachers have put into gaining recognition. The bill, Mr. Speaker, has a tendency to want to lump all school employees, be they certificated teachers, certificated administrative personnel, and non-certificated persons, under one umbrella as school employees. I think we shouldn't do that, Mr. Speaker. And what this amendment served to do is to preserve those three separate identities. I think it's a rational thing to do.
Any further debate on amendment number 3? Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Classified employees, non-certificate employees of the school districts, originally under the public employees, were allowed to organize, to be recognized, to bargain collectively. They had various other privileges also. And when we amended the Public Employees Act a decade ago in order to move school district people into their own particular classification, the act was amended in the course of passage through the legislation and made specific only for certified personnel. Certified personnel, as you know, are those people with professional training, teachers, administrators, and the like. That meant that for the past decade or so, classified employees who can be secretaries, school nurses, custodians, maintenance workers, and the like, are literally the only employees, public or private, in Alaska who are not recognized in law to have the right to organize and negotiate for conditions of employment and wages. We've sort of ghettoized these people. So the district, 53 school districts in the state, treat these people in very, very different ways. In four of the districts, they do organize, and because of the goodwill of the school district, they are able to meet and negotiate. They have no legal right to do that. It is by the good graces of the school district. That is in four out of 53. In some...
Mr. Speaker, I rise to a point of objection at this point.
Representative Furness, state your point of order.
Mr. Speaker, the member is not speaking to the amendment. The amendment at this point, Mr. Speaker, is to preserve the identity of the groups. It does not go into whether they should be represented as a toll group. I think the member is off the tenor of the amendment.
Perhaps, Representative Kopanen, you should come a little bit closer. Perhaps you have strayed, but I understand what point you're trying to make. Representative Clarkson.
I don't think it's quite a point of order, Mr. Speaker. The fact is the amendment is meaningless since it amends a title.
That comment.
Any further debate on amendment number 3? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. In the Hess Committee, I offered an amendment to restrict House Bill 130 just to certificated employees. That amendment was defeated. My feeling is that this amendment is an appropriate and a reasonable compromise between the position of my colleague from Fairbanks, who supports House Bill 130 to broaden to include all employees, and my own position, which is to restrict it just to certificated. The intent of this amendment is to give classified employees, non-certificated employees, the right to organize. But it does not force them to join the teachers' negotiating unit to do so. That, I feel, is a very appropriate and reasonable amendment, and I urge the members of the body to adopt it.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the point the majority leader just made is the appropriate one. Titles aren't even part of the law. Titles are just sort of a guide. Far be it from me to coach a member how to submit an amendment, but amendment number 3 doesn't even make sense unless attached to it is amendment number 4 and number 5. If these three were one amendment that we were considering, I'd still be voting against it, but at least it would make sense. But right now, we're being asked to put a title on a section that we haven't amended yet to make that title change make sense. And so absent that, you know, assembling of these three amendments, it's meaningless to be amending titles. And besides that, titles don't mean anything anyway. I urge the rejection amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Furness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I certainly hope that members would not hide behind what I would call a flimsy technicality. Mr. Speaker, we can indeed offer, I can combine these if you'd like, and I can offer an amendment to change the title. In fact, that is part of the plan. The essence of this, Mr. Speaker, we should not lump all employees under one umbrella. Teachers have fought long and hard to preserve a separate identity as professional certificated personnel. And that's the intent of this amendment, is to address that. Now, I hope the members will look at the merit of the amendment as opposed to, again, some other type of excuse.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 3 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Gulk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Does any other member wish to change their vote? The clerk, please lock the roll.
18 yeas, 20 nays.
Amendment number 3 has failed adoption.
I did it anyway.
Would the clerk at this time please read Amendment number 4?
Amendment number 4 by Furness. Page 1, line 27, delete all material and insert A, a school board and the bargaining organizations representing certificated teachers or other employees shall.
Representative Furness.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, again, this amendment is still in an effort to preserve the identity of the three potential bargaining units. I think we made, a sufficient argument that those identities should be preserved. I assure with you the language in the bill, line 27, it reads here, school board and an employee bargaining organization shall. I'd like to change this to a school board and the bargaining organization representing certificated teacher and other employee shall. Then we proceed from there. I still think this body should consider here, it is important to preserve the separate identity of these groups. Let me use an example, Mr. Speaker. If we were talking about the medical profession, let's say there is a orthopedic surgeon's practice, and lo and behold, someone comes along and say, well, let's just get rid of the term orthopedic surgeon, since you've got the surgeon, you've got a nurse, and you've got a clerk there. And you come through and you do away with this title, and you term these people all medical personnel. Is that equity? A person worked long and hard for a certain type of designation, and I think this body owe it to them to help preserve that. And again, Mr. Speaker, this amendment is designed to do that.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, we've heard about dividing the question or splitting the question, but can we weld amendments 3, 4, and 5 together and make it one amendment? Because I believe, you know, they both essentially address the same issue. I'm just really asking the sponsor to consider that, I guess.
I think by the rules that you're absolutely correct with the division, but to weld, I think you'd have to be a new amendment submitted. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, assuming that was a parliamentary inquiry, I think that's correct. The member could offer an amendment to the amendment, which would accomplish the purpose, but you can't do the reverse of dividing a question.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I hate to bring up another one of these vexing technical amendments, but again, this amendment is not crafted, I think, to do what the member wants it to do. Saying a school board, certificated teachers, excuse me, and other employee organizations. To be correct, I think if you were going to do it, you'd have to say a school board, comma, an organization of certificated teachers, comma, and other employee bargaining organizations. Because if you took this language, the school board could say, we're not going to meet, we're not going to negotiate with a specific organization. Instead, we're going to negotiate with the certificated teachers of this district. And the fact that we don't recognize their organization has nothing to do with it. So, I think it's very, you know, I think the amendment is lacking there, Mr. Speaker. I think it, under this, the way it's written right now, I think very definitely there is no clear certainty that the school board would have to negotiate with a particular organization, just with the whole, you know, generic group of certificated teachers.
Representative Furness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, let me share. I had that concern, too. I submitted this to Mr. Barrier and Attorney Kramer for their advice. They have gone through this, and it is their advice that this is a proper form that this should go. when if you read this amendment, particularly Amendment 4, in context with the rest of the bill, it is consistent with the way the bill is put together. Now, the fault is not the amendment. Perhaps the fault is with the way the bill is done. The amendment I would share with this body, according to the legislative drafters, the people we pay good money to advise us, is in the correct form.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like an at ease, please.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the recess, we are on amendment number 4. To my understanding, there is an amendment to the amendment. Would the clerk please read the amendment to the amendment?
Yes, amendment to amendment number 4, and it's being duplicated right now. By Navarre, delete original amendment and restate to read. Page 1, line 27, delete an, add an S to organization.
Representative Navarre.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment to the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to the revised amendment number 4?
Object.
Representative Gruenberg. Representative Martin.
Objected for clarification. I didn't quite comprehend that.
Okay. Proceed, Representative.
I've been told that I'm not supposed to offer amendments to minority amendments, but nevertheless, since I'm new at this, I think this will clarify what the original amendment was attempting to do. On line 27, page 1, line 27, if you strike the and add an S at the end of organization, so that it would now read, a school board and employee bargaining organizations shall. That would do what the maker of the original amendment had intended and will help us to move on.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support the amendment to the amendment, and in fact, I think we ought to give the member from Kenai a job in legislative drafting. Evidently, he's more wiser than the person that drafted this initially for me, but I think it's a good addition to it.
Are objections maintained on the revision of amendment number 4? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 4, amended, be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
27 yeas, 8 nays.
Amendment number 4, as amended, has passed, has been adopted.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hantley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to place a call on the House for the remainder of the amendments.
A call has been placed on the House for the remainder of the amendments. Would the clerk read amendment number 5?
Amendment number 5 by Furness. Page 2, lines 9 through 20, delete all material and insert section 3, AS 1420-55A is repealed and reenacted to read. A, negotiations between the certificated teachers or other classes of employees of the regional educational attendance area and the respective regional school boards shall be conducted by one team representing each of the employee groups and one team representing each of the participating regional school boards.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and I ask unanimous consent.
Representative Clarkson.
Do I have to ask for an at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, the reason I ask for the at ease is to clarify where we stood. It's my belief that the roll call vote that we had was on the amendment to the amendment. and that that was adopted. We now have the amended amendment before us, and we need to vote on that before we go to the next one.
Representative Furness, did you move amendment number 5?
I would assume we're still on amendment number 4, Mr. Speaker.
That's correct, but you did not move amendment number 5, did you?
Well, I did move it. I will withdraw that at this point. At the, I would assume that's what you want.
That's correct.
I would, yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw my amendment number 5. I'll offer it after we clear this 4 up.
Representative Miller.
Very quickly, I welcomed the amendment and voted for it, the amendment to the amendment by the representative from Kenai, but I don't think the original section of the bill needs amending, so I still will be voting against the amendment, even as amended. We made it an unnecessary amendment better, but it's still unnecessary. Thank you.
Question. Are you ready for the question? Should amendment number 4, as amended, be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Boucher.
I'd like to change it from blank to no. Blank to yes.
Representative Taylor, you changed your vote? Representative Gull.
Yes to no.
From yes to no. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Gruenberg.
Yes to no.
Does any other member wish to change their vote? Would a clerk please take the roll?
20 yeas, 18 nays.
Okay. Amendment number 4, as amended, has been adopted. Would the clerk at this time please read amendment number 5?
Amendment number 5 by Furness. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Furness.
Let's consent.
Representative Porcheau.
I had understood from the last motion by the speaker that he withdrew his amendment rather than withdrawing his motion to move the amendment.
Representative Porcheau, you may be absolutely correct in what the representative said, but that's not how I interpret it. And evidently, he is proceeding to put it before us.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I understand your point of order. Representative Furness.
I do move the amendment and ask unanimous consent, Mr. Speaker.
Proceed, Representative.
Well, Mr. Speaker, again, what we're proposing to do now, again, is to be consistent in the bill and reflect the separate identity of each bargaining group. This amendment, Mr. Speaker, will again continue what we've already started with passing this last amendment number 4. It reads, Mr. Speaker, negotiation between the certificated teachers or other classes of employees of the regional educational attendance area and the respective school board shall be conducted by one team representing each of the employee groups and one team representing each of the participating regional school boards. Mr. Speaker, if you look at the original language in the bill, you'll see that we had taken page 2, line 10. We had bracketed out certificated teachers. We've totally changed that. This brings it back in concert with what I think is the aim of this body, that is to preserve the identity of the respective teams.
Any further debate on amendment number 5? You're ready for the question. The question is, Representative
Miller. Quick point. This just prevents employees from negotiating together even if they want to, and I don't see any reason for that.
Are you ready for the question?
Well, Mr. Speaker,
Representative,
let me make this clear. I don't want to let this stand like that. Mr. Speaker, this does not prevent the employees from bargaining together or negotiating together, Mr. Speaker. You have to read this bill in context. You cannot look at one segment of it and make a judgment. If you read it through and you see how this bill flows, you'll see that, again, all this amendment does is to preserve the identity of the group. It doesn't address any negotiation at this point.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 5 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
18 yeas, 20 nays.
Amendment Number 5 has failed adoption. Would the clerk please read the next amendment upon our desk?
Amendment Number 6 by Furness, and it starts page 4, line 6, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of this amendment, let me read the original language. It says, non-certificated employees or certificated administrative personnel may choose by secret ballots to negotiate independently of other personnel. Mr. Speaker, what I'm proposing to do here to change the may, I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I'm proposing to change the may to shall. The rationale is, Mr. Speaker, that we're talking about a vote here, a vote of bringing these groups together. By keeping the permissive language in there, that means that the vote can be taken as a vote. I believe, Mr. Speaker, that we need a positive signal here that that vote shall be by a secret ballot. What this is, what this does, Mr. Speaker, is to prevent the possible intimidation of an employee or coercion of an employee who may not agree with any type of an alignment. May is too permissive. The correct language should be shall. I noticed in another section of statute under APEA, I believe it is consistent that where a vote is to be taken in this manner, that vote shall, as opposed to may, be taken by a secret ballot.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we've got a this time we've got a grammatical problem, because it I guess you have to choose what the secret ballot applies to. As I read this, and I think you can very well read this, what you're saying is that certificated employees, et cetera, shall choose by secret ballot whether to negotiate independently of other personnel or as a group. That mandates bargaining elections, read just the way I can read it. I can also read it the other way, but read one way, this mandates bargaining elections, even though employees might otherwise choose not to go to negotiate and might choose not to want to go through this process. So, and the current bill, on the other hand, there's no question in my mind that what we're saying is you may choose, and if you do choose, you're choosing to do it by secret ballot, and there's no other alternative. It doesn't say may choose by secret or open ballot. It says if you're going to choose, you have to do it by secret ballot.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, the speaker from Juneau makes a good point. Out of the original section of the bill, Mr. Speaker, it states here that non-certificated employees or certificated administrative employees may seek to negotiate independent of other certificated employees. What that says, Mr. Speaker, that the non-certificated employees and the certificated administrative employees can opt out of negotiating with the certificated teachers. The original section of this bill, Mr. Speaker, does not give the teachers the same advantage. For whatever reason, the certificated teachers may decide that it is not in their best interest to negotiate with the non-certificated or the certificated personnel. So this section, this amendment really addresses two points, and I thank the member from Juneau for bringing that up. It gives them an ability to vote. It mandates that the vote be taken by secret ballot. It shall, as opposed to may. It gives a bilateral ability here, Mr. Speaker, that either one of the three parties can make that determination, as opposed to stacking the cards against the teachers. I think this is a fair amendment.
Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall Amendment Number 6 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
17 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment Number 6 has failed adoption. Would the clerk at this time please read Amendment Number 7?
Amendment Number 7 by Furness. It starts on page 5, line 20, and it has been duplicated and placed on each desk.
Representative Furness.
Again, Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objections, proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, the intent of this amendment is to again change contingent impasse and insert in statute a section called mediation and fact-finding. The intent of this is to give some type of a status report of negotiations after mediation. This is a glaring exception in the bill in that there's no mentioning of this process. The report should do this, Mr. Speaker. It should list the found positions of each of the parties to the negotiation. It should indicate the nature of the parties' conduct during the negotiation. How did the parties conduct themselves in this negotiating process? And number three, Mr. Speaker, it should set out the total equities involved in the negotiating process. I think this is a very important step if we are to have arbitration and at least mediation before the final arbitration process. It sets out the conduct of the parties during the process. It sets out their final position. At least the public has some idea as to what happened at this point and what that breakdown may have been. Again, it's a good amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Any further debate? Representative Maru.
Mr. Speaker, I have my own definition of what equities means, and I think I know, but I'd like to ask the sponsor of this amendment if he could give us a definition.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd be very pleased to. Equities in this sense means, let's speak of money. If there is a salary offer on the table, then the mediator would be obligated at this point to list what that monetary consideration was. If it had to do with any other finite point in negotiation, the mediator at that point is to somewhat summarize the benefits or any other points having to do with that point of consideration.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the point of mediation, the function of a mediator is to mediate. It is not to write report cards on either participant.
Representative Copeland.
Thank you. Current law asks that mediators write reports, and they have consistently declined to do so because they feel that that would place them in a judgmental position in listing them, and they do not consider themselves in that category. They feel that their reports may be interpreted as arriving at a judgment about the behavior of one party or another and destroy their credibility as a mediator.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, let me again clear the record on this. What we're asking the mediator to do is, first of all, share what's on the table. We're not asking him to pass any judgment, but simply share, at least in point number one, list the final position of each of the parties in negotiation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not putting him in any liability. The second is indicate the nature of the party's conduct during the negotiation. I think it's important that the public know if the members are bargaining in good faith. Now, surely there shouldn't be any objections to that. And the third is, again, to set out the total equities involved in the negotiation. I think I've explained what we mean by total equities, that what the mediator is required to do in this point in making a report is to simply set out what was on the table and the conditions of that session.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 7 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote?
The clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
18 yeas, 20 nays.
Amendment number 7 has failed adoption. Would the clerk at this time please read Amendment number 8?
Amendment number 8 by Furness. It starts page 6, line 9, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Furness.
Consent.
Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, in the present piece of legislation, the act calls for, at least the bill calls for, a item-by-item negotiation. The purpose of this amendment is to consider a toll contract or a package-to-package negotiation, at least a final arbitration position. The arbitrator or the mediator is to look at a package-to-package. That is the intent of this. There's a second benefit of this, Mr. Speaker, when we look at this section, is having to do with the public meeting. If you notice here in the section on line 13, at the request of either party or on the motion of the arbitrator, again, the key here is on the motion of the arbitrator may conduct a public meeting for the purpose of allowing the parties to present and explain the position on the final offer. My second point with this amendment, Mr. Speaker, is this. While I support the public's right to know what's happening in the process, as a veteran of at least one strike in this state, I can certainly appreciate the benefits of being able to hold that session in executive session. Mr. Speaker, I agree that this is a point that should be considered, but I think it's a point here that should be left up to the negotiating parties, and it should not be included in statutory language. It's been my experience, Mr. Speaker, that negotiating parties will have a tendency to complete their work in a much expeditious manner when they are in exec session, and that the public forum may not be the best forum by which to negotiate in. What this amendment, Mr. Speaker, will do is, again, set up a package-to-package, a total offer arbitration, while at the same time leaving the matter of should it be a public meeting or a meeting in exec session, leaving it up to the discretion of the parties at the table negotiating.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, if you'll read the amendment, those of you that are paying attention, it will delete a sentence, as the member said, that will allow discussion in a public meeting of the positions and the final offers, and I'm really disappointed the member for suggesting that this should be conducted behind closed doors. I oppose the amendment.
Representative Gruenberg.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment really deals with two separate things and is a combination amendment. The second portion has been discussed by the minority leader. We shouldn't be dealing behind closed doors in these circumstances. The first portion of the amendment relates to the total package concept or the item-by-item concept. And we supported, in the House Committee, the majority, supported the item-by-item concept because it allows the arbitrator to accept the best position on each item and gives him more discretion, him or her more discretion. I urge the defeat of the amendment.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, again, let me set the record straight. I have no problems with members negotiating in public or in exec session. Mr. Speaker, I'm surprised of the majority leader in his objection. Being an attorney, surely he realizes the benefit of members being able to make decisions, particularly in an emotionally charged arena of negotiations. If you look at the statutory language as it is now, it says may. What I'm saying here that it shouldn't be in the statute at all. It should be a decision made by the parties.
So whether you defeat this amendment or not does not say that the public will be present. It says may. What I'd like to do, again, is to take it out of statutory consideration, put it at the table where this consideration ought to be, between the negotiating parties.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment, and I focus on the first part of it rather than the second. We amended this in the Hess Committee to change from the Labor and Commerce version, which had total contract offer, to the Hess version, which says each item in dispute. My feeling on this, and again I speak from the perspective of one who has been on the negotiations team both as a teacher and in my more recent experience as a school board member. And from those experiences, I am of the opinion that if you allow an arbitrator to make a issue-by-issue determination, you are going to have two unhappy parties. If, on the other hand, an arbitrator is given to a choice between a total contract offer, while one party surely will not be happy with the result, at least one party will be. I do not think it makes sense, having labored through negotiations for months and putting a great deal of time and energy and emotion into them, to have both parties come away from that process being less than satisfied does not make sense to me. I think it makes sense to adopt this amendment, to go back to the original bill and the Labor and Commerce version on this particular issue, and I urge the parties to adopt the amendment.
Representative Gruenberg. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the essences of the issues is just what the representative from Kodiak has expressed. The object of the arbitration process is not to please one party or the other, but to reach a fair solution. And just as any court situation, arbitration situation, it's likely that neither party will be totally satisfied. A just result may require that. We shouldn't allow one party or the other to have an unreasonable position, and just because it's less unreasonable than the other, to prevail. The arbitrator should be allowed to do substantial justice and to decide each issue on an issue-by-issue, item-by-item basis. Thank you.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In putting together a total package, I think each team, whether it be management or labor, is pretty much required to put together a good package. If you put into that package one item that would perhaps lend the arbitrator to believe that you're not sincere with this particular package, then there's a good opportunity, a good chance that whole package will be discounted and not considered. I think both parties are obligated to bargain in good faith when they have to put together a total package. Both bodies are obligated to be reasonable in that package, because they are apt to win the whole package or they will not win the package. When you go item by item, we have never limited the items. Labor can come in with 65 items, and management comes in with how many items they're willing to give. If you've got a school district that's willing to give on 65 things, you're probably going to be in a bankrupt school district. But we have never limited the items, and there's nothing in this legislation that limits the items. The total package requires both parties to bargain in good faith and put together a good package.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm constrained to respond to my colleague from Spinard, who in his comments has suggested that either party will find satisfaction in this process. I would like to suggest to the members of this body that if you are concerned about equity, if you are concerned about fairness, then you cannot support this bill. Make no mistake about it. An arbitrator coming in from outside your community, being asked to make a fair and equitable judgment when he does not know the background of the negotiations, he does not understand your community, He does not understand the dynamics of the individuals involved or the process that has gone on for months. Cannot, I would suggest, make a fair and equitable judgment. So make no mistake about it in your considerations of this particular amendment or this bill as a whole. If you are looking for fairness, then you must look elsewhere than HB 130.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, I too am somewhat surprised at the family attorney from Spinard's comment. Mr. Speaker, what the member is proposing to have is no winners and no losers. But Mr. Speaker, this is serious business. The fact is, when we, in a situation where there's a package to package, it forces members to be reasonable. It forces them to come to the table with a reasonable offer. What the member from Spinard is after here is a patchwork. Rather than a package of requested items to be considered that are in concert with each other, other than that, you've got an apple from here and a grape from here and a tomato from here and a can of sardines from here. You've got a salad that just won't taste right, Mr. Speaker. Now, as the member to my right here stated, by coming with a package, each member is requested or required in the process in order to be successful to come with an offer that meets some type of parity within a system, that is a offer that has been put together with some type of an understanding and program in mind. A package to package will do that. Item to item will not do that.
House, please stand at ease.
8. Do we have any further debate on amendment number 8? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I oppose the amendment and the package concept for this reason, Mr. Speaker. Bargaining organizations and school boards, you know, like the rest of us human beings, sometimes get off just on a tangent and may have a very otherwise reasonable or close to reasonable package, and I'm talking about both sides in this case, not the unions, not necessarily the school boards. And yet there may be one issue out there that's just really kind of extreme or bizarre or whatever, and the arbitrator might think that it's absolutely and totally in the best interest of the public to select that package, except they've got this one crazy thing sticking out there. And he just doesn't think that's in the best interest at all. And he's been hired to arbitrate in the public interest, or she. And absent the ability to pick on an issue-by-issue basis the last best bargaining point, that person has to either accept this crazy thing or else go to the side that he or she really doesn't think has presented the best package from the standpoint of from the public. So I think the package approach is the better one, Mr. Speaker. The information I have is that I think there's a couple of other states that, or one state I think has the package. At least two states that I'm aware of have the issue by issue. And I think the issue by issue thing, I think, gives the opportunity to the arbitrator to act in the public interest with a little bit broader authority than would otherwise be the case. I oppose the amendment, and particularly I oppose the first half of the amendment, which I think does tend to make it. Close the doors on the public, even when the arbitrator thinks, again, in the public interest, that that there should be an open meeting.
Okay, the call has been satisfied. You're ready for the question on amendment number 8.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller, were you asking a question of Representative Furness in relation to amendment number 8?
Did I ask a question?
No. Representative Furness, you've spoken 4 times on this issue. We do have things in Mason's Manual to protect a body.
from an individual that keeps delaying the floor action.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm not delaying the
action.
The Speaker made a comment that I would like to address, Mr. Speaker.
I do not believe there was a question asked of you.
So, Mr. Speaker, are you saying
Representative Furness, you may continue to speak, but that's it on this amendment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will continue to speak. Mr. Speaker, I think the member from Juneau makes my point. In fact, he fraudulently said package that he supports it, but I'm sure he was not meaning to say that. Mr. Speaker, he mentions taking away, he mentioned the crazy item that may be sitting there. Well, Mr. Speaker, package to package eliminates that crazy item. Because if either group knows that there is an item in a package that may be crazy or unacceptable, they know that that item is there that they're going to lose because the arbitrator is not going to buy that. And that is why, Mr. Speaker, the package to package is the best approach to it. The Speaker from Juneau makes my point.
Representative Collins.
If I may, just for clarification, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to support this amendment because what we've been talking about, and particularly in labor and commerce, we discuss the concept of total package or item by item, but if we go item by item, then we're going to have to change the whole concept of binding arbitration being the last best offer to being the last best offers. And I feel that if we do that, we're going to be making a mistake, and therefore I would support the amendment. And if we intend to really accomplish what we want with this legislation, we ought to support this amendment and keep it to the last best offer, not offers. Thank you.
Is there any further debate on amendment number 8? The question is, shall amendment number 8 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Davis? Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
15 yeas, 23 nays.
Amendment number 8 has failed adoption. At this time, I'd like members to note in Mason's Manual, section 102, a member has a right to speak only once on a question. Going over to point 2, a member may be permitted to speak again to clear up matters of fact or merely to explain some material parts of his speech. And then it goes on through there. We've allowed a lot of latitude, but I will not allow one member of this body to tie up the entire body in relation with a given amendment. Would the clerk at this time please read amendment number 9?
Amendment number 9 by Furness, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Furness. Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, let me draw the body's attention to page 6, line 27. Line 27, in fact, I'll have to read line 26 and 27 in its entirety. The existing employment conditions of the employee groups compared with those of similar groups. This is, Mr. Speaker, this section deals with making the decision the arbitrator shall consider, again, shall consider the existing employment conditions of the employee groups compared with those in similar groups. We recognize here, Mr. Speaker, that the arbitrator will no doubt come from outside of the state of Alaska. We recognize also, Mr. Speaker, that the wage rate for school employees are much lower in the lower 48 states than those in the state of Alaska. What I propose to do here, Mr. Speaker, is to narrow the scope here by saying that, in fact, inserting after similar, put state here, similar state groups.
I think it is more tangent to the issue that if the arbitrator is going to come into Alaska to evaluate an Alaska group, that he ought to use the stats from internal. The second portion of this amendment, Mr. Speaker, let me draw the body again to line 6. In fact, this is a... Okay, it does say 27 through line 29. States here, Mr. Speaker, the salary, fringe benefits, and other conditions of employment prevailing in the state labor market. I'm proposing that be deleted, Mr. Speaker, and it's for brevity purposes, I've included it in the same amendment. The reason being is we well recognize that the economy of any state, particularly the economy of the state of Alaska, has a tendency to ebb and flow. This section, I believe, may work against school employees because in questionable economic times, as we are currently facing the state of Alaska, with declining... Jesus Christ. Could we maybe close the door here? Competing with the... young fellow broke my chain
of thought.
It's
nice to hear happy people out there.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think you're going to be happy with this amendment. Mr. Speaker, to make a long story short here, with declining revenues, and I just don't think here that it should be specified in statute that one of the things that the arbitrator shall consider is a salary, fringe benefits, and other conditions of employment prevailing in the state labor market. We have right now a temporary scare, as I see it. Revenues have been projected to go down. Any school district right now that's in negotiation, that contract would be settled with that in mind. I agree that it should be considered. I disagree with it being specifically required in statute as a provision, as a specific consideration of the arbitrator. I think it should be taken out.
Any further debate on Amendment Number 9? Representative Miller.
Speaker, the operative word here is consider. And of course, they're going to consider all, similar Alaskan groups. But they should not be limited to that. I can remember a very few years when none of us even, for instance, knew anything about computers. Suppose part of the negotiation revolved around computer education. Not very many years ago, there probably were not any Alaskan groups that had expertise in this area. It's, the word is consider. They're not bound by either stateside or Alaskan standards. It's just that people should know what the situation is. And as far as taking away from consideration, which is what the amendment would do, the salaries, fringe benefits, and other conditions of employment prevailing in the state labor market, that's absolutely mind-boggling, Mr. Speaker, to say that in the process of a labor negotiation, you're not going to consider the salaries, fringe benefits, and other conditions of employment prevailing in the state.
Does any other member wish to speak on Amendment Number 9 before we go to the prime sponsor of Amendment Number 9? Representative Furness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, under the latitude that I understood you giving on this, that at least I'd have a chance to address the question asked, I will take it at this time, Mr. Speaker. I don't object to Number 6 being considered, Mr. Speaker, and in fact to the member from Juneau. Anyone that can read a statute sees here that it says, when making the decision, the arbitrator shall consider. My point here is that sure, consider it, but I don't see any reason to make it a specific requirement in the statute that be considered. Good prudency says that it will be considered, but then I think it may not be relevant that it be considered. Therefore, it shouldn't be here. And on the first point, Mr. Speaker, because that person comes from out of state, there's no guarantee that out-of-state arbitrator will consider just the Alaskan environment. He may not know the Alaskan environment. He may have just come from Mississippi, and we know that state pays the lowest wages for school employees in any of the states. My amendment is online, Mr. Speaker, and I think the members should support it.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 9 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote?
Furness didn't vote.
Representative Furness? Does any other member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk at this time take the roll?
12 yeas, 26 nays.
Amendment number 9 has failed adoption.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw amendment number 10.
I haven't asked. Are there any objections? It is in possession of the House. Hearing no objections, amendment number 10 has been withdrawn. Representative Maru.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciated your comments on giving people latitude and speaking more than once. And this is a parliamentary inquiry. If I'm not mistaken, Rule 27C5 would allow us essentially to cut off debate by two-thirds vote for the previous question. And the question is that correct? Is that another way to essentially cut off debate?
The previous question, yes, can be called and then asked if that is the order of the House. But we very rarely use that. The only time that I invoked Mason's Manual, I guess it was Section 102, was when we have a situation where it appears that an individual might be belaboring the point unless there's questions that are asked directly on that motion that prime sponsor would answer. Naturally, we've had a lot of latitude in here, and sometimes the discussion is good, but then sometimes that's why the rules are there, to protect a deliberative body from an individual or two or three individuals that are impeding the progress of that body. Amendment number 10 has been withdrawn. Would the clerk at this time please read? Would that we label that number 10 now?
Let's keep going with the numbers.
Is there any objection if we keep going with the amendments as numbered? Okay. The clerk at this time please read amendment number 11.
Amendment number 11 by Furness, page 7, lines 6 through 20, delete all material.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, we are today discussing a bill that supposedly addresses finality in teacher bargaining negotiation or school employee negotiation. Mr. Speaker, page 7, line 6 to 20, I propose to delete that, and the reason is this. This section gives the negotiating parties an ability to file a motion in Superior Court to vacate or modify the decision if the substantial rights of the party has been prejudiced. Now, I agree with that. But let's go to number 6 of this section, line 19, Mr. Speaker. Number 6 in this section permits the parties to consider if the decision was arbitrary, capricious, are characterized by abuse of discretion or clearly unwarranted exercise of discretion. I would ask any member of this floor, Mr. Speaker, to explain what arbitrary and capricious means. In my opinion, it's a catch-all. I believe that if this section is included, that it will result in the parties immediately using the provisions to prolong the settlement of an agreement. While I agree that the section should be considered, I do not believe, Mr. Speaker, that the specific ability should be included in this section of the statute. Further, I believe that the school board would be the ones that would be more inclined to use this section than the bargaining unit negotiating on behalf of the school employees. School employees would more likely consider the several gains that they've made during this particular negotiating session, particularly in view of the additional costs and the emotional stress that can be brought on by long periods of negotiation. On the other hand, Mr. Speaker, a school board has nothing to lose. The arbitrator has no doubt ruled against them. They've got absolutely nothing to lose. It has everything to gain, however. Plus, Mr. Speaker, it has a substantial public treasure at its disposal to fight the issue.
If we speak of finality, Mr. Speaker, I think what we've done is, this is, in my opinion, has totally busted this bill at this point. It gives the negotiating parties right in the same set of statutes an ability to delay and prolong this misery. I think it should be considered. I disagree with it being specifically listed so handily in statute.
Any further debate on Amendment Number 11? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, if this amendment passed, nobody or neither of the parties would have access to the courts, even though the decision of the arbiter violated constitutional or statutory laws, even if the decision exceeded the statutory authority of the arbiter, even if the procedure of the arbitration was unlawful, even if the proceeding is affected by other errors of law, even if the decision is clearly erroneous in view of the reliable, probative, and substantial evidence of the whole record, or even if the decision is arbitrary, capricious, or characterized by abuse of discretion, which are, I found out by serving on the Judiciary Committee low these many weeks, are terms that some of us may not recognize but have considerable meaning in law. This would be a terrible section to take out. This is the protection of the courts that people have if, and I think this is going to be extremely rarely used, but if they are abused, if one party or another is abused of its constitutional or other rights, this is their last and only hope. And just like every American citizen should have the right to go to courts, either the union or the school board should have that same right.
Question.
Representative Pinyalberry.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I had the same question that Representative Furness is trying to solve with this amendment and asked the advice of legal services and had this envelope delivered to my desk just since we've been in session. Not had time to review it. May we have just a brief at ease so I could review this?
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House come back to order?
Who do we have off? Who do we have off the floor?
I have been informed that the call has been satisfied. Representative Pinyalberry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Due to the fact that the late arriving information on this amendment has only just arrived and it's 6 pages long, during the recess, we discussed the matter with the majority leader, and tomorrow we will digest the information overnight and attempt to go back to second reading tomorrow if we feel it is in order. And I'm sure that the good graces of the majority leader will assist us.
You might have his vote. Representative Gruenberg.
Mr. Speaker, before saying a few words on this particular amendment, may we revert to the introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
I would like to introduce, Mr. Speaker, a constituent and a friend, Georgia Britt, in Gallery A. And on the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gruenberg.
Fine. Amendment is to strike the provisions that would allow judicial review of the arbitrator's award. If we do that, that'll be a significant step backward because, for example, in the Uniform Arbitration Act, which is the General Arbitration Act in this state, we have very similar provisions in AS 09.43.120 that provide for judicial review for unfairness and very similar provisions to this, and the normal procedure is for judicial review of an arbitrator's award, and we should not preclude that.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 11 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
11 yeas, 27 nays.
Amendment number 11 has failed adoption. Would the clerk at this time please read Amendment Number 12?
Amendment number 12 by Furness, and it starts on page 8, lines 21 through 22. It has been placed on each member's desk.
Jesus Christ.
Representative Furness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we'll give it one more time. I move the amendment, Mr. Speaker, and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent of this amendment is to, again, address some equity. Mr. Speaker, with 52 separate school districts throughout the state of Alaska, this bill places a great deal of responsibility on the backs of this labor relations agency. Mr. Speaker, we've already set in motion at least some form of compensation above and beyond the travel expense and perhaps per diem. We've done it in the case of the railroad board. I believe we're paying some $400 a day there. It's either $200 or $400. In the case of the Board of Parole, we handled that several days ago. We're paying those persons $150 a day. Mr. Speaker, I think it's quite evident here that this agency is going to be busy. It's going to be busy. It's going to be running all over the state. The intent of this amendment here is to pay these persons for their labor. That is at the rate of $100 a day. I don't know how any member could vote against this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, there's a whole lot of boards in the state that don't get a single penny of pay. They get compensation for per diem and travel, as this board would. But there are just a whole bunch of boards and commissions that work real hard. There are some, and they are the exception, that we do actually make pay for. But my memory, and it may be wrong, but my memory is that the board, the labor relations board that takes care of the public employees, do not get paid. In any case, in this austere year, I don't think it's appropriate for us to start $100 a day boards.
Representative Furness.
Speaker, again, I will take the latitude. I believe the gentleman did ask me a question. Mr. Speaker, he's mentioned the other labor relations board. Well, I think the major difference here is that this group will be responsive to 52 separate units statewide. 52. I don't think that other agency has that much responsibility. Now, we talk about lean years. We talk about decline in revenues, Mr. Speaker. We already set the pattern for this. We did it several days ago. Speaker, let me make one other point, and again, in answer to this member's question here. The Board of Fisheries this year, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I didn't ask a question.
Representative Furness, a member may speak a second time on a given motion after all other members have spoken. So you're now on your second time in summarizing your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My eagle and I thank you for that pleasure. Mr. Speaker, my last point is this. This past year, Mr. Speaker, the Board of Fisheries held hearings for a total of 3 months straight statewide. Those members did not receive one dime of compensation. I've talked to a number of those members, and they're very disgruntled. They cannot afford to spend that type.